I want to start by, because the message, is about the glory of God. He has already showed himself today. I don't even have to speak because I could barely sing because of his presence. So I don't know how you feel right now, but undone. But I want to spend a moment before I start this message. I want everybody to forgive everybody. And I want everybody to receive forgiveness for everything. Yes, everybody. So I'm going to pray, okay? We're going to clean. This is what we need to do every morning. We need to clean the slate. You know, like you wash down your kitchen counter and you get the soap. And I don't know about you, but I like it all nice. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have a clean heart as we come before you. And that as you look at us, you see us through the eyes of Jesus. And therefore, we are filled with your glory, filled with your love, and in the process of becoming more and more like you every moment. So we forgive everybody everything. And we receive forgiveness for everything that we have done, Lord, that is not pleasing to you, Father. We repent right now and receive forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. There's three things that you can exercise that will cause you to receive more of the glory of God. First of all, it's passion. What are you passionate about? You don't have to answer that question to me, but I know that my first passion is Christ. That's my first passion. There's other things that I love that make me smile, like my husband, but God's passion and wanting more of him is the thing that rules me. The second thing is purity, which is something that I continue to ask the Lord to purify my heart, my thoughts, my body, my mind, the things that come at me that are not pure, that I bring them before the Lord, that I cast down imaginations. And the third, so that's the second thing that we need if we want to walk in the glory of God. We need to be pure before him. The pure in heart see God. There is an essence of the glory. There's a reality of knowing what the glory of God is by seeing. And God has assured us that we can see. God has assured us that we can see him face to face. This is what I want to encourage you as I'm speaking and sharing to remember through this message, that you can see God face to face. Moses saw him face to face. Jacob saw him face to face. Of course, Jesus saw him face to face. If Jesus saw God face to face, then we can see God face to face, right? When Jesus took Peter and James and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration, there was an open door. There was a veil that was not there anymore. Jesus brought them up there so they could see and understand that there's another realm, and we can enter into that realm. That realm is a place of victory and overcoming in every situation. The circumstance that you are in right now is where God is going to show himself strong on your behalf. This is where he's going to show you who he is. We go through things in this life not because he's punishing us, but because he wants to show his glory to us. He wants to show us how amazing he is and how different he is to all those things that we're involved in. He's totally on the other side of the fence. So get over there. He's over here. Anyway. No, he's not. He's right here. He's in me. All right. The second thing about purity. And all of it has to do with what you're looking at. You can control your life. I'm telling you that. You can control your life by what you are looking at, what you say, what you profess, what you read, what you see. But the most important thing is, are you seeing God? Have you seen him, and are you seeing him every moment? He's always around. Psalm 19, forget about the scriptures, if it's there or not, I'm like way out of here. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament displays his handiwork. He's shouting. He's shouting. He's declaring. He's shouting who he is in the clouds and the sky and the sun and the moon and the flowers. The flowers like reach up and kiss the sun. So amazing. Flowers make me smile because I see them open and close, and weeds make me smile too, because I know that if I don't remove the weeds, the flowers are not going to grow as well. So I also see that in my own life, that I need to remove the weeds. And it's as easy as reaching down and picking it up, right? And if you have a dandelion and you don't get the root, it's going to grow back, right? That's how it works. So you got to get the root. The third thing is that you need to pursue God. Think about, what are you pursuing in your life? You need to pursue God. He wants you. He said, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. What does that say? Seek him with all of your heart and you'll find him. It's a promise. It's a truth. It's a reality. Abba Father is the Lord of glory. This is about your true identity. I know a lot of times I didn't feel very loved. And that was for a lot of reasons, but it didn't matter because I'm loved. Right now I'm loved. And when I started to realize that I was loved by God, nothing mattered. It didn't matter who said what or who acted which way to me or who rejected me or who persecuted me or who didn't understand me or who didn't treat me right. I'm loved by God. I'm loved by God. I'm a son of the Most High. I'm a son of glory. And so are all of you. There's this thing called an aria. I didn't know if this was going to come up, but here it is. It's a song that one person sings. Every person in here has a song. And every believer has a song. That it's in harmony with heaven. If you're not a believer, you know, you're a child of God. God loves you. He created you. There's a DNA in every person that's calling and crying after the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because everybody wants to see God. Everybody wants to see God. So let them see God in you. Let them see something different than what everybody else is doing. So they're child of God, but they're not sons of God. Sons of God are those who have said yes to Jesus. He's come inside of them, and he's begun to make them new. Us new. He's made us new creations. He's brought us into a place where we shine. A couple of weeks ago, the Holy Spirit gave me this little, you know, the scripture that, oh, I know that scripture. I said, oh, I know that scripture, you know. Let your light so shine before, this is what he said to me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify me. So I started to meditate on it, because when the Holy Spirit gives you a word, there's something in it that you need to see and understand. So I started to meditate on it and started to pray about it. Went into the city. I was taking care of Ariel's two kids, and she had a night thing. So I get in there. It's about 12:30, and Hunter is listening to a CD. He's got this little CD with all the songs on it, you know. So I sit down, and he puts it on, and it goes, this little light of mine. And he's dancing around. I'm going to let it shine. And it was like God saying to me, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What is your light saying? And how light are you? If you're filled with the glory of God, you are a light being. And in the spirit realm, that's what you look like. You look like a big, brightest flashlight in the whole world. Like, you know, the sun. You look like a light being in the spirit realm. So you want to reflect that glory. Our true identity is to be a son of glory. That's our identity. There's only one way that you can truly receive and understand that you are a son of glory. And that is by being enveloped in the love of God. I was meditating, funny, about an envelope. I meant to bring one, but I forgot. I was praying. But think about an envelope. If you take a piece of paper and you put your name on it and you put it in the envelope and you seal the envelope, that piece of paper with your name on it is completely covered by that envelope. That's the way it is with God. We're in process of becoming more and more like Jesus. That's the process of salvation. And that's the way that we become more and more like Jesus. I did share a while ago that the Lord showed me that there was a pocket of my mind that was dirty that needed to be cleaned. So it's clean. I had two experiences which I'm going to share. I have a lot of experiences, but a couple weeks ago I had a night of no sleep. And this happens often. But I know God is doing something because I sleep most of the time very well. So I'm laying in bed, and these things, I mean, I felt like wave after wave after wave after wave was assaulting me. And I was hearing, and I knew what it was that was coming against me. All of these things coming at me, words, oppressions, all this. And I just kept saying, fill me with your glory. 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 Over and over, and every wave. Stop right there. As soon as I said, fill me with your glory. Because the glory of God, us filled with the glory of God, overcomes anything. All those evil spirits that are yammering at you and attaching itself to your wounds and attaching itself to your little kingdoms, they have no power in the presence of the glory of God. They have no power. They have no power. Even if you're afraid to look at whatever it is that there might be an evil spirit, know that the all-encompassing love and power of the living God is greater than that evil thing. Greater than that evil thing that you can't get over. That you're afraid to let anybody even know that you're doing or being or involved in or even comes at your mind, because the enemy will run at you and then make you think that it's you. Because he's such a liar. He's so wicked. We want to be God's offspring. We want to be sons of glory. That's our true identity, to be a son of glory. So whatever that thing is. Anyway, at 3 o'clock in that morning, I heard the Holy Spirit say, after all of this battling, you won. So I said, oh, good, now I can go to sleep. I went to sleep. A week later, the same thing happening. But this time I had no idea what was coming against me. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. And, you know, I do see in the spirit. I am a seer. I see things very clearly a lot. But I heard nothing and I saw nothing and I didn't know what was going on. But it was physical. I was having various pains in different parts of my body. And I kept saying, fill me with your glory. 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 And it all stopped. I didn't hear anything this time. But I knew because, see, when you go back to an experience that you've had with God, you can take what's there and use it against whatever is here at this point. So I knew that it was over and I was fine. Filled with the glory. So, what is the glory? He was here. He is here. I'm only speaking because he's here. The weight, it's a weight. It's the weight of his presence. Something good. It's the weight of something good. It's not the weight of something bad. There are times that I sit in the back room just like this for hours because of his presence and his glory. And sometimes he doesn't say anything for a really long time. And then he'll say one thing that just makes, just brings everything together so I'm able to understand what it is he's trying. Because God is always speaking. He's always teaching. He's always pouring out. He's always desiring to bring you to a new place in him. God's glory is his splendor, his abundance. It's everything that makes God, God. When it says that we can see him, There's a Greek word called eido. That seeing encompasses literal seeing and figurative seeing. And a lot of people in the body of Christ will just say, oh, it's figurative, it's not real. But it's in the word over and over and over and over and over again that you can see God. You can see him naturally. In this life, you can see him. The power and authority of the living Christ we have access to. It is the full glory of his revelatory, many-faceted goodness. We've been singing this song for a while, that he's a good, good father. Sometimes you need to just sing that. You're a good, good father, and I'm a good, good son. I'm a good, good daughter because you're a good, good father. I'm a good, good daughter. I'm a good, good son because you're a good, good father. So we want to walk in power and authority, filled with the passion of the living Christ. We want God to manifest. I'm so blessed by my husband. We're driving in and he starts praying, Lord God, manifest yourself. He used the word like 3 or 4 times. Now, what does the word manifest mean? It means display, show, exhibit, demonstrate, reveal, substantiate, confirm. My niece is in the hospital, the one that had the baby, the miraculous baby, and she had an infection of some sort, and I heard it through Ariel. I hadn't talked to my brother yet. I said, Lord. So I started to pray for her, and I got a text from my brother's lady who is on the way to Italy. She said, you know, maybe you can get in touch with Joey because of this and that. I don't know if you knew Julie was in the hospital. So I said, well, what's the matter with Julie? I had a connection. What was the matter with Julie? So she told me. So I started to pray. And I'm praying for like hours, just bringing her before the Lord. All of a sudden I said, that's enough. Get off her. And within a half an hour, I got a text from Claire who said that she had taken a turn for the better. Now, it's not just me. It's him. I just connected with him. Does that mean that he didn't answer everybody else's prayers? No, but he answered mine. He answered all their prayers too, but he answered mine. And then I texted my brother, what's going on with Julie? And then the men in my family do not like to talk on the phone. My brother, terrible. Both of my sons, terrible. They'll text it, you know, until the cows come home. But if you get them on the phone, hi, how you doing? Oh, good. Meanwhile, I get this. Oh, I'm learning. It's okay. My brother's like, but my brother just sends, okay. Anyway, I love him. But it's a personality thing. It's also because he's going deaf and he can't talk on the phone because he can't hear. So it's easier for him. Now I'm going to give God glory here. Everybody in my family is deaf. All of my siblings are deaf, except me. And it's God. I know it's God. And it's also because he's saving this miracle for my daughter. So I'm standing in a place of hearing so that my daughter can hear, and she will. And it's getting closer. So, I'm just going to give you Peter, 1 Peter 4:14. I'm going to read it because it's not part of the message, but it's the message God gave me. So, you can read it when you get home and maybe ask God about it. I'm giving you a little tidbit here. So, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Think about the martyrs who were burning torches in the stadiums of Rome, who were singing praises to God. That song, I started to say this before. There's a thing called an aria, which is a song that one person sings, and it's usually part of a great work, but it's only one song. Each one of you has a song to sing. Each one of you in here has a song to sing to the Lord. Doesn't matter whether you can sing or not. It has to do with your heart. Your heart is singing. And when we all get together, we're like an orchestra, dancing and singing before the master. Even if you're just standing there, I see the songs over your head, and I hear the songs. and I see heaven in this place because I see the glory. So our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I remember going through so many things and saying, oh God, do I really care about the eternal weight of glory? Can't you just lift this right now? But you know, that was the cry of my flesh. But God knew that in my heart, I wanted more of him. I still want more of him. I still go through things. I still wrestle. But I win. I don't lose anymore. There were times it took longer. Much quicker now. Much quicker. Much quicker. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we want to walk in that eternal life. Deathless. Deathless life. Deathless, because death, where is thy sting? 2 Corinthians 4:17-19. Within the glory of God is the greatest joy that a spirit or a soul can have. And the glory of God is a joy that no man can take from you. No situation, no loss, no land of plenty can touch that joy because it comes from the living God and it's glorious. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, even as by our own natural tendencies. No. By the Spirit of the Lord. So if you don't believe in the Spirit of God, you don't believe that God speaks and that you can hear him, how can you overcome? By the Spirit of God. His glorious Spirit is immeasurably enormous. Think about the word enormous. The heavens declare the glory of God. They're shouting. The Spirit of God is encompassing universes right now and realms in full power. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He is so powerful. Your little puny problem is nothing. I remember when I sent Aaron, I probably shared this, but I remember when I sent Aaron to school and I was very upset. I was upset every time I sent each one of my kids to school because I was afraid. I didn't want them to be somewhere that I wasn't. But you know, the Lord, every time, through my tears, just spoke to my heart that I will take care of your children. I will take care of them. I will supply. And this one time with Aaron, he showed me this bubble. You know, like they had these clocks and they had the glass that goes over it. He showed me this glass that was around over him, over his whole desk and everything. And two huge angels. See, when you see in the spirit, you can be confident. Because you know and hear what God is saying and you see what God is saying. Two huge angels standing behind him. On the ground, there was these two little ant-like creatures that are about this big. And both of those angels went over and went. So the Holy Spirit said, I'll take care of your son. There's two angels. Now, Aaron was the only one of my children that the Holy Spirit, probably because of the position that I was in at the time when I had him, the enemy sent me flashes and visions of him dying, of his face mangled, of his body mangled. He actually threatened me and said, if you continue to worship me and preach the gospel, I'm going to kill your son. He's the only one that God said that to. So you know how precious and how many prayers went up from my heart for Aaron and how I had to resist the devil and withstand in the kingdom to say, no, you have no power and authority over my son. You can't touch him. And especially when Aaron started to go through things and I had to still stand and say no to the enemy. and say yes to God for his life, which I'm still doing. But he's the only one that the enemy actually came after me. And again, it's probably because he was my fourth, and wherever I was at the time, the enemy was feeling very threatened. God's power is more powerful than any evil spirit. God, his glory, his power, the reality of who he is greater than anything your flesh could think is going to win. He is so massive, and that's God's true identity. He is so massive that he's able to withstand. He is so massive. I would teach my kids when they're growing up, you know, God is so big that the earth is his footstool. And they would look at me like, I said, yes, think about how big the earth is. And God puts his foot on it. So he can certainly take care of you. Certainly, that was what I kept telling. He can certainly take care of you. Of course, we all put our armor on every morning, and they would complain and moan, but they would do it. God is so massive and so enormous and so powerful that he draws everything to himself. So even those, like a magnet, even those things that are evil and think that they're resisting, he draws them to himself. And you know what happens when they come into the presence of God? They lose their power. They lose whatever hold they thought they had on the kingdom of God. He's the glorious creator. He makes evil ineffective and then virtually non-existent. I will tell you, when you come to a place of withstanding, you don't have to control your environment anymore. I was thinking about this, about the way I used to be in the kingdom and how I used to stay away from this and that and afraid of this and afraid. I don't feel that way anymore. I could walk in anywhere with the power of God and overcome because of who he is. My understanding and my vision is changed. And I'm the one that carries the glory wherever I go. I'm the one that brings the kingdom of God, whatever place I walk into, and dissipate all the evil that might or might not be there. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. Because I know, but you know, it's something that we wrestle with, right? Yeah. We do have to wrestle that fear to the ground and step on its head. Ugly. Fear is ugly. But God has not given you a spirit of fear. I can't tell you how many times I say that. God has not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Sarah actually posted it last week in the full Amplified, disciplined and whatever. It was amazing. I love the Amplified. The power of God, the creator of all things, has the power to change everything. And what he first changes is the way that you look at things. He changes your perspective. He changes what you think you need and what he shows you that you don't need. All things are possible with God. 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 Our faces are open to the Lord because the veil was rent in the temple when he died. The veil that was rent from the top to the bottom that no man could touch, so that we could come into the Holy of Holies and be holy, right? If you're in the Holy of Holies, you're holy, aren't you? That opened the communication between God and man. The veil was rent. The veil was rent. The veil was rent. When the Lord opens the heavens, like he did this morning again, because let me tell you something, he comes every week in power. Whatever you need here every week, he is here to provide. His glory is what comes and descends upon us and brings the change. His glory is what comes. I think Gail is the one that was talking about focus, 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 focus. Focus, focus, focus. What are you focused on? The battle for your mind and what your mind is on is guess whose? The Lord. The battle is the Lord. Sometimes he'll say to you, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, you read the Old Testament, you read the New Testament, and you hear the Holy Spirit. You hear what he has to say. Sometimes you feel like a dried out twig. I do sometimes. I get in that word and I start, and now all of a sudden my spirit man is just moving. And there's life, and it's just amazing. I went back and weeded my, what I call the back 40. It's this 4 feet like this behind our fence because all the weeds were growing up and the vines, and I'm telling you, what a trip. But, you know, when I do things like that, God always speaks to me so clearly about how those weeds have to be removed from our lives and how those weeds, and even there was a time when we had this whole back of our property was overgrown. And I got these Rosa Sharons from Alita Birdsall. And I planted them all across the side so that Rosa Sharon would stop the weeds from coming onto the grass in the backyard. And they grew. And then, you know, I don't know if you ever had Rosa Sharon. They not only grow, they multiply. And they multiply and they multiply. And they're very strong. And they have beautiful flowers, except I always think it's a ripoff because they don't smell, but whatever. That's me. Come on, Lord, make these flowers smell. Anyway, while I was back there, I see this tree sticking up in between the fence. And it was a Rosa Sharon. Now, you think, oh, Rosa Sharon, it's Jesus, right? So I'm asking him about it because I had to cut this thing and pull up the root and do this whole thing. It's a Rosa Sharon, but you know what? When I first started to think about it, I was thinking, okay, well, it was an old part of what was helping me at one time to keep all the weeds out. But the Lord showed me that my spirituality way back then is not the same as it is now. And that Rose of Sharon was actually hindering what he was trying to speak to me today. So, see, you can hear God. I hear him. I see him. I understand. We are his sons in glory. The glory of God is also the holiness of God. Now Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. So we have to rise, don't we? How many times over the last year, over and over and over, was rise up, rise up, rise up. I will rise, 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 rise. God's speaking something different right now, but in this verse and who we are as sons of light and sons of glory, walking in our true identity as children of God, sons of God. We were children of God, but now we're sons of God because we've said yes to Jesus. And he's moving inside of us, clearing away all the debris. The brightness of your rising. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. If we receive the blessings of the Lord in the heavenly places, then we have to be in the heavenly places, right? Am I? Okay. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There is that in, all-encompassing, enveloping love of God, which changes your thinking. Changes the way you look at yourself. Having predestined us to adoption as sons. We're accepted in the beloved. By Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has given us that situation and opened up that door that we can be adopted as a son. He was the firstborn son, the firstborn of many brethren. I remember not understanding that. And I do understand that. Jesus is the big brother. He went before us. He's the firstborn, and we follow him. According, now how? How does this happen? According to the good pleasure of his will, God's will. So what is God's will? God's will for us is that we be adopted into the beloved and accepted in the beloved and adopted like as a son or a daughter. It's always, a lot of times it's male, but it means both. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Here's the verse, accepted in the beloved. Memorize it, learn it, receive it. You are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Accepted in the beloved. And in process, I always say that. There's a song I used to sing to the kids. He's still working on me. You know, Psalm 138 says, you know, he who has began, oh, that's Philippians. Anyway, he promises to finish what he started. Both scriptures are the same. We're the house of God and the gateway of heaven. Genesis 28, 1 Corinthians 6:19. And we can walk in the fullness of that revelation. We are the house of God. Did you hear me? We are his temple. And the gateway of heaven. In the scripture, there's a law called the law of first mention. The first time something is mentioned, you're able to receive that as a truth. And then from that scripture, all through the rest of the scripture, that's the basis of the reality. And that's in Genesis 28. That we are the house of God and the gateway of heaven. That means that we can see heaven. That means we can hear God's voice. That means that he loves us, that we are accepted in the beloved, adopted as his sons and daughters. The full potential that we have to live in this place, we also have a visual capacity. There's a lot of places, and I went through these kind of teachings too. Don't use your imagination. The imagination is earthly, sensual, and devilish, and it comes from the enemy, or it's your flesh. You know what? Your imagination is something that God can write on. You know whether it's the devil or not. You know whether it's your flesh or not. You know when those imagine. You know, God gives me visions all the time, and I accept them. I had to step out of that teaching because it didn't fit. I had to step out of the teaching, you can't dance, because it didn't fit. You know, it doesn't mean it's where they were at the time, and if they're still there, that's up to them. But I'm in another place, because when I dance, God gets glory. And when I dance, I step on the head of the devil. I would be down here dancing. I was singing, I will dance. I was dancing in my body, but I can't be down here dancing and be up there singing at my toe. But that's okay, because in the spirit realm, I do holy dances unto the Lord. I step on the devil's head all the time for myself, for my husband, and for all of you. I'm just going to share this little tidbit the Lord gave me a couple weeks ago. There was all these things coming at me, and I was like, Lord, 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 Lord. I put my armor on. I'm standing there, you know, filled with the glory, with the armor of God. What he said to me is, you can't do this for anybody else. You can only do this for yourself. But all that's coming and assaulting you from other people, from the intercession that you're standing in prayer, all of that falls in front of you when you're standing in the glory, when you're standing in agreement with the living God. So it doesn't mean that I have to carry your burdens. It means that I have to stand against what it is that's coming against you in the spirit realm and say no more. So we are to bear one another's burdens. We come alongside each other and put our arms around each other and say, it's okay, I love you, and we're going to help, we're going to get through this. But I don't sit there and feel sorry for you and come into agreement with that evil thing that's trying to destroy you. No. I come and say, let's worship God. Let's worship the King of Glory. There was someone who came to our house a couple, maybe a month ago, and I wanted to lead them in that they were really struggling. I want to lead them in the back room of worship. And let's just worship. Let's just worship. Because I know that when we worship, God shows up. And this person, no, she didn't do it. And within a very short period of time, she had a serious problem that came into her life. I know that if she had worshiped that day with me, and not me, but worshiped, turned, there would have been a much easier going. And she did call me when this thing happened, and it was very difficult, and I prayed her through and spoke her through, and God came through. Because that's who God is. That's who God is. In Psalm 19:8, it reads, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoice in the heart." So if you want your heart to rejoice, maybe you are not focusing on the right thing. If your heart is sad and not rejoicing. "The commandment of the Lord is pure and bright, enlightening the eyes." Oh, the eyes of my understanding can be enlightened. What brings light? Oh, the precepts of the Lord. In another version, it says the life maps of God are right, showing us the way to joy. God says, "I have written out the best plans for you, as well as displaying it through my creation." Now, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the blood of Jesus and our identity. Because our identity cannot be healed by anything else but the blood of Jesus. You can go to a million counselors, and you can do this, that, and the other thing, and try to find help. And yes, they will help. They will listen to you. But it is only the presence of the King of Glory that will heal your heart to believe that you are a son of God. If you go to a council that knows the Lord, and everybody needs somebody, a pastor or a friend, a prayer partner, somebody that can come alongside that you trust. Be careful who you pray with. Because somebody may do exactly that and say, "Oh, you poor thing." And I remember a woman years and years and years ago at a women's meeting, and this woman's husband left her with a brand new baby, and she was devastated. And I went over and put my arm around her. Now, comfort is from the King. And the woman, who was her pastor, said, came up in my ear. She said, "Don't do that." Okay, so I back up because that's not my sheep. I backed up, and she looked at that woman, and she said, "You need to praise me. You need to praise God," not praise me. "You need to praise God. You need to begin right now, right here, to start praising Jesus. You need to praise him, and you need to thank him, and you need to worship him, because that's the only thing that's going to bring you out of this mess that you're in." And I went, whoa. So then what I did was I stood next to her and I started, "Blessing, honor, and glory and power be unto thee, Almighty God, King of glory, King of creation." And that woman, through her tears, worshipped God and praised God and came into a whole new place right there in front of my eyes. What Dave shared, praise is a weapon. Praise brings you into the place where you see God. And you need to keep praising until you see him. If you don't see him, keep praising until he manifests himself. You know, if we can feel, sometimes I ask God for a hug because I just need a hug sometimes. And he does. He comes and gives me a hug. He's so beautiful. But he doesn't always give me a hug because I don't always need a hug. Sometimes I need a smack in the head. And he does that too. Jesus' blood is the only thing that can heal our identity, because we have to attach ourselves to the reality of the living God loving us. That's what heals our identity. That's what brings us to a place of health. It's the only power that can truly restore our confidence and allow us to see through the enlightened eyes of love, enveloped in the confidence that we are loved. The power of love inside of us has no boundaries, no conditions. It changes everything around us and everything within us. With standing, rising, walking with him, God just never stops walking. If there's a boundary in front of him, he just steps over it or goes through it. He doesn't stop moving. So if you're withstanding with him and you're walking, I can remember going for a walk one day. I was walking around and the Lord started to speak to me about the gates of hell. and I was listening. I'm walking and listening and praying for the neighbors and walking and listening. Then he said, stop walking. So I stopped walking, and he showed me this gate in front of me that had a hinge on it. It was a white picket gate, about this high. He said, step on the gate. So I stepped on the gate, and I kept walking, and he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It's not the other way around, where we're afraid that the gates of hell. No, we are the ones that step over that and step into that gate, smash it, go into the places of hell where those people are, and grab them out. He said, we're here to snatch them from hell. We snatch them out of that through our prayers, through our witness. We want to change the world. We are growing, and I've seen you. You are singing the song of the Lord, most of you, even when you're struggling, even if you're having a hard time or a bad day, you're continuing to praise God. You're continuing to speak and declare over the situations that God is love, and he loves me, and he's going to help me. You know those seven spirits of God? You know the nine gifts that move? You know, we can have access to any one of those nine gifts at any given moment if we're listening to what God has to say. He will give us what we need to do in the situation that we find ourselves. 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. That we can see God face to face. In those days, this scripture was talking about a mirror. They talked about a mirror glass darkly. It's not like the mirrors we have today. They were dark, and they couldn't see through them, really. It was like, you know, metal, shiny metal. This is what they're talking about. But in the spirit realm, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me that when we first come to the Lord, we do see through a glass darkly. We don't really see him face to face. But as we continue to mature and grow and receive the identity and understand who we are in Christ, then we can see him. We can see him face to face, and he can heal us. Isaiah, Moses, Aaron, the 70 elders, Jacob, Peter, James, and John, that all saw God face to face. The reality of who God is 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it is love. I am a tinkling cymbal or sounding brass. What is your life saying? I'm going to have you just close your eyes, and I'm going to read this part of God and who he is over you, because I want you to know that this is who he is. This is who he is right now in this moment. And he has made himself available to every one of you. Right where you are, he's made himself available to help you and to lift you up. He is a God of love. The greatest of these is love. And then he goes on in the second chapter, I will show you a more excellent way, which has to do with love. So everything that's in 1 Corinthians 13 is who God is. But then he says, and I will show you a more excellent way, which is pure, unadulterated love, pure understanding, wisdom, revelation. Receive it now, power and might to walk in your true identity as a son of God. Okay, let's close our eyes. 1 Corinthians 13:4. I'm going to say God instead of love. God suffers long and is kind. God does not envy. God does not parade himself. God is not puffed up. God does not behave rudely, and God does not seek his own. God is not provoked. God thinks no evil. God does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. God never fails. Go on and say, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The sons of God that we are is what God has created us to be in a greater measure, a greater understanding, a greater wisdom. So you can start looking in the mirror and saying, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God, even more important, because everyone is a child of God. God loves everybody, and he's calling them. He's calling everybody like this. Come closer, because when he shouts in the heavens and he declares his glory, he's saying, come to me. It's better when I'm inside of you. So that's what we want. We want to see and hear and respond to the call of God to get closer to him. So I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for your church here today. I thank you for your glory. I thank you for coming in full measure today and filling us. I thank you for the reality of who you are in my life and in the lives of your children at RCF, and even more important, the sons of God who live here. May they go and take your glory with them. And may they hear your voice a little clearer today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. We're having coffee. You want coffee? You can have coffee. Hang on just a second.